It is so good to be with you. We love what we feel in this house. It's a good thing. And, what a treat to just share with you tonight. And what Greg just said there is the burden on my heart tonight is I believe that God wants to shift our understanding of what normal looks like. All of us have a normal. That normal is developed out of our history and circumstances and all of those things that go to making us come together. But God is doing something absolutely extraordinary across the earth right now, and he's not picking special people to do it. He's picking anybody that wants to. And so the great thing about this move is if you want to do it, he's ready to reach out his hand and do it with you. But there's some ways of thinking that have to break in us for us to begin to walk in the things that he's calling us to walk in. And I want to go to quite a familiar passage to start with tonight. And that passage is in 1 Corinthians 13. We're all familiar with that passage. And we're going to talk tonight about the connection between faith, hope, and love. And there's a verse here in chapter 13, verse 13, that says this. It says, "Now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." So it puts three functions together. It puts three words together that it says if you strip everything else away, you get down to this, and this is what makes it work. Now, I'm a mechanical engineer by education, and I like to figure out how stuff works. I like to get down to what's the baseline of this that actually makes this whole thing function. So I want to talk about the interconnection of these three words for a few minutes, and I want to first talk about this word hope. Hope has the ability to take us outside of normal. I was on the plane on the way back from South Africa in November last year, and God had wrecked my mind in a lot of ways on that trip. And I went to sleep on the plane, a rarity, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I'm walking down a road, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, "Turn right." Well, I turned right, and there was a stone wall there. But I simply walked through the wall into the room on the other side of the wall, and we had this amazing encounter praying for people. It's a dream. What's happening in the dream is challenging normal. A couple nights later, I had the next dream in a whole series. I've had about 10 of these. And I walked out of the door of my house pulling my luggage, and I walked into the house over in West Rand where we were staying, and there was no time gap between the two. That's not normal. Not yet. But how do we break outside of that? How do we start hoping for something? See, you don't have to have faith to hope. Hoping will begin to push us past the mundane life that we get locked in. Let's go to one other verse to just look at that just a minute. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, "Because since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a hope as a helmet of salvation." So in that verse, hope is the protection for your mind. How many have ever struggled with depression or hopelessness? Hope is the protection for that. If we lose hope, we lose focus. We lose direction. We can't find faith because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I believe that God is restoring to the body right now a living hope that will look past the circumstances we're in and begin to take a deposit on something that isn't ours yet. One of the words that in English that we use for hope is anticipate. It's one of the ways we describe hope. Anticipate is made up of two Latin words. It's a combination of two Latin words. It's ante, in advance, and sipere, to take. So when I anticipate something, I take something in advance of my actually having it. So Jesus goes to the wedding feast at Cana, and Mary goes with him, and they run out of wine. Mary comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, they have run out of wine." He said, "It's not my time. Don't mess with me. You know, don't bother me." And so Mary turns to the servants and said, "Whatever he says, do it." What's Mary doing? She's anticipating. She's taking something in advance. We live in a kingdom where I believe we can take a whole bunch of things in advance. I believe there are things available to us, things possible for us to walk in. I believe there are things we could see and do and see happen in the lives of other people if we'd only start looking outside of the limitations of what have become normal to us. The other word we often use to describe hope in English is expectancy. Expectancy, again, is two really cool Latin words, which is expector. It means to see outside of. So when I have expectancy, I see outside of the box or the square or the confines that I'm living in. So if you want to break out of this, you need to see out of this. And I believe tonight, one of the first things that God wants to do is he wants to begin to give us a hunger to see outside the limitations of normal. What does it look like to begin to live a naturally supernatural lifestyle? What does that look like? What would happen if we began to carry the power and presence of God into every part of society that we touched? What would happen if we really believed that God's hand was with us when we reached out to touch somebody? What would happen if we broke out of normal? And what we're seeing across the earth right now, we are seeing tens of thousands of believers, normal Christians, step out and start doing extraordinary, extraordinary things. A friend of mine, she's just a member in a church down in Florida. She's kind of becoming one of our spiritual daughters, and a great girl. Had a friend call her, and her daughter was in hospital on life support. And the hospital called and say, "We need your signature to unplug her. It's over." And so this mother's heading to the hospital to unplug her daughter. Calls our friend, Julie. Says, "Julie, I want you to pray for me. This is the hardest thing I've ever done." Julie started thinking outside of normal. She said, "I tell you what. Would you just do one thing for me when you get there? When you get to your daughter, would you lay hands on her and call me on the phone?" So the mother got to the hospital, before signing the papers, laid hands on her daughter, called Julie on the phone. "Okay, what do you want to do?" Julie started giving the words to command life into this body and to curse death and rebuke death. And within 15 minutes, all the signs changed on the monitors. That was midweek, and on Friday, that young girl walked into church and gave her life to Jesus and was baptized that Sunday night. Because somebody thought outside of the box. Now, are you going to see that every time? Maybe not when you start. But if you don't try, you won't do it. Years ago, when I first started contending for resurrection from the dead, I started carrying screwdrivers to funerals. You used to have to unscrew it. You don't anymore. There's two little clips. You can just flip it open real easy now. But in those days, you had screws you had to take out, so I took a screwdriver. I mean, if God tells you that, Y'all looking at me funny now. Do we want to go for something outside of normal? We've got to begin to start hoping and thinking and dreaming and believing and saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to believe for my workplace? What do you want me to believe for my boss? What do you want me to believe for my family members that don't know you? And start hoping, because when you start hoping, you actually give a seedbed for faith to take place. Because it's in that realm of hope that things begin to shift and things begin to change. The reason hope is so important is that God requires faith for us to please Him. But the book of Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if I don't ever hope for something, I'm probably not going to find faith for something. Some of us are trying to find faith in a vacuum, and it doesn't work that way. And I believe God is birthing one of the greatest releases of faith that we've certainly ever witnessed in our life. We're seeing young kids do the most remarkable things just because they believe. Just because they believe they can. We're seeing kids in our school, and we're seeing kids in our children's ministry laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed just because they're starting to believe. That they've heard that people can do that, so they just do it. The hope quickly becomes faith because they start acting on those things that they're hoping for. Now, we're all contending for this in some way. I talk about contending. I think if you're believing for something, sometimes you got to press in until you get it. And sometimes it takes longer than I'd like it to take. One of our kind of people that I really look to who pioneered the healing ministry was John Wimber. And John Wimber heard the Holy Spirit tell him to pray for the sick every Sunday night. And he did it for a year and didn't see one single person healed. For a whole year, every Sunday night, didn't see a single person healed. People left his church. People called him weird. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But he had a hope. And after a year, that thing broke through and healing opened like a river to the body of Christ out of that thing that he fought through for. And right now, that we're in a time when if you'll just begin to hope, I believe God's going to touch you then with that next measure, which is faith. Now, the way we move from hope to faith is real simple. It's when you take the risk to step out. When you take the risk to believe God to do something and to do something through you. It's where you, I've never seen anybody healed, but that crazy guy says I can, so maybe I can. Sally and I were in Lebanon. Incredible service. One of my favorite services of our entire life. But Lebanon right now has about 1.5 million Syrian refugees living there. And a vast majority of those refugees are Muslim. And so a lot of the food, a lot of the medicine that they get, in fact, all the education in the camps, all actually comes from the Christians serving them. Incredible outpouring of Christians into those camps. And we were the last day of our trip, Sunday morning service, and we had, I think, 3 or 4 different churches came together for kind of a final rally before our team left. And somebody just thought it'd be a really good idea to take a big coach out to the camps. And they brought 40 adult Muslims to the meeting. And it was a blast because it was the first time these people had ever been inside a church. They had no context for anything of anything of anything. And it was just amazing. We started giving words of knowledge, and every word of knowledge for a Muslim. And every time they stood up, they got healed. It was amazing. God just picked every single one of them out of the room. And just blasted them. And then we gave the invitation, and every single one of them stood up and responded to Jesus. It was just one of those glorious meetings that you just live to see that stuff happen. Well, 2 days later, one of those ladies is in the camp, and a woman comes to her to ask her to help her get to some medical help. She had this huge tumor, the weeping tumor that was on her side. And all she wanted was this lady to get her medical help. Well, this lady thinks, that man said Jesus healed. I wonder if he'd do it through me. What's happening? Hope. She lays hands on this tumor, and the tumor disappears under her hand. 2 days old in the Lord. She knows nothing about nothing about nothing about nothing about nothing. Except that man said Jesus heals. What if we, what if we? So this lady got really excited and she said, would you go home with me? My son has a mental disability. And we're still not exactly sure what it is. We've had two different reports of what it was. We're trying to pin down what it is. But this young man had quite a severe learning disability. This lady doesn't know that's a hard one. So she goes home with the lady, lays hands on the son, and he gets completely healed. Why? Hope. Hope becoming faith by taking a risk and stepping out and see if it works. I believe that one of the most exciting parts of South Africa to me is I see a bunch of people getting ready to take risks. I see a bunch of people getting ready to step out in faith and really begin to believe that God can use you to do this. The greatest healings we're seeing are not from the platforms. We see some great ones in meeting. Crusade, we see some phenomenal healings. But the majority of significant healings we see are people praying at work, people praying at the gas station, people praying in the bank. We're just seeing this incredible breakout of the power of God. Because people are coming out, they're starting to hope that God might use me. And that hope leads us then to take the risk to move hope to faith. And then we start seeing the breakthroughs and the healings and the transformations in the lives. There's three words. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. And I want to spend my last few minutes here on the connection between faith and love. Because I believe that as Christians, I believe that as teachers of the word, we've taught these two, but we've not taught them together very much. And in fact, 26 times in the New Testament, faith and love make it into the same verse. Whenever two things are in the same verse, there's a connection I need to try to understand about those two things. If you want to look inside Sally and my head right now, we are walking in a significant breakthrough in seeing people healed. But we would not say that we're walking in a significant breakthrough when it comes to miracles yet. We see them fairly regularly, but nowhere near as many as we want to see. And there's a gift of faith that we need to access for those miracles that we're trying to learn how to access. And I just want to walk you through one of the pieces that I believe is going to be essential for South Africa for the miracles to be released here that are on God's heart. And that's we need to understand this interaction between faith and love. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, back at the second verse, it says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but don't have love, I'm nothing. So basically, faith working separate from love is ineffective. I can get a miracle, possibly, but I probably won't get the salvation if I don't have the love connected to the faith. The thing I like about these two words that fascinate me is that one of them is a gift issue and one of them is a character issue. Love is a fruit of the Spirit that's to grow in us because of the Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift I'm to receive because of the work of the Spirit. So I've got a character issue and I've got a gift issue, and somehow both of those things are necessary if we're going to see the birth and the growth of the revival that we're after. if we're going to see the scores of people touched by the power of God that we're expecting. So it really matters how I do that. Corinthians says, if you don't have love, the faith doesn't work properly. So there's a connection between faith and love that I need to get. I said this morning in the meeting, and I believe this with all my heart, when I stand in front of a person that needs healing or a miracle, my job is to love them. God's job is to heal them. So I don't stand in front of a person in a wheelchair, shaking in my boots, wondering if I have the faith to heal them. I stand in front of a wheelchair wanting to pour out the love of God on that person so that they feel touched by the love of God. God then extends His hand to perform the miracle. When we understand our job and keep our job in right perspective, it makes life much simpler. Just think with yourself for a minute. How many times have you not prayed because you're afraid they might not get healed? That's not understanding my job. My job when that person stood a minute ago is to love them. When I command as a son or a daughter, God reaches in and does the healing. That's the beauty of this thing, is the responsibility is His, not mine. My responsibility is to take the risk of faith, and then He come along and He does whatever He does. So let's press this just a little bit further. Let's jump to another verse, that Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It's one of my favorites right now. Are you allowed to have favorite verses? Good, okay. For in Christ there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. That's the normal way we would read that verse, faith working through love. So it's talking about your culture doesn't mean anything. Your socioeconomic background doesn't mean anything. The tribe you come from doesn't mean anything. The nation you're born in. All of those ways that we describe and define ourselves are not the issue. The issue is faith working through love. The issue that is going to sustain a move of God in South Africa is faith working through love. But what does that look like? There's another translation of this verse that I really like. It's the Amplified translation. If you look it up when you go home, it's the AMP-C. There's two Amplifieds. One of them is the normal one you buy. There's an Amplified C, which is the Amplified Complete. And what they did in the Amplified Complete is that they took all of the definitions from a Greek word and plugged them into the verse. So it's incredibly cumbersome reading. But it's fascinating because you get to see the breadth of a word that we don't often look at. And the Amplified in this one is fascinating. Thank you for doing that for me, guys. You're awesome. This is the AMP-C. For in Christ, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. I want to just take a few minutes and pick up each of those words to help us visualize the connection between faith and love. We are convinced that this is actually the key that's going to unlock the awakening in this nation. The first word there is activated. How many of you have used epoxy before? You have two tubes of epoxy. And you mix those two pieces together. And when you put them together, they are activated. In other words, separate, they're inert. Together, they're activated. Faith and love separate are inert. Well, this is scary, guys. But when faith and love are put together into a situation, faith is activated by love. So love becomes the ingredient that causes faith to do its work. So it's not just a matter of we need to love people more. No, no, no. Love is actually the vehicle through which faith is released into that situation. When I start seeing that, again, I get myself doing the right thing, which is my job is to love you unconditionally. Into that atmosphere, faith comes, and we see these incredible things happen. So faith is activated by love. Look at the second word. Faith is energized by love. How many of you have bought a toy for your kid that needed a battery, and you got there Christmas morning and you forgot to buy the batteries? It's a bad, bad day that. Love is the battery for faith. Faith's power comes when love's plugged into it. Can you see why Paul breaks into the whole Corinthians passage about gifts with 13? It's not just about attitude. It's about the function of these gifts don't work properly unless love is brought right into the middle of it, because love is the ingredient that causes this thing to work. As Sally and I pray for this nation, we have seen hundreds of thousands of people traveling to this nation to see what God's doing here. And what they're coming for is that they recognize this place as having so many different divisions and tribes and races, and they see it as a divided nation. But the sound coming out of South Africa is going to be such incredible love expressed as God demonstrates his power that the world's going to come and say, what in the world are you guys doing over here? That's what you're about to walk into. But to get there, we've got to get faith and love functioning together. Too often in our religious culture, faith is more about volume or boldness, or if you get enough shundai, something's got to happen. But what if we could get more happening by loving people? What if we understood that that act of loving them was literally the empowering of faith to then see them healed, set free, deliver, come to Christ, whatever the need is? What if the key we're missing is loving? And I believe that in this season, God is retraining us. That's why somebody like Heidi Baker, who just begins to push into that loving the one, this is exactly what she's doing. Just that frame of reference that God, make this thing so easy that everybody can do it. Make it so easy that we literally just give ourselves to loving each other, and then that act of loving each other, we can't stand them to still be sick, so we're going to... What if our response to the stranger on the street was that we really loved them enough that we cared about their soul, we cared about their destiny? I remember being on a team in England. I was leading a team in London. We're going into housing projects, and we're seeing just incredible things happen. People being saved. We actually had 10% of one tower block accept Christ in one day. It was the most unbelievable day of just salvation, just pouring in the kingdom. But somewhere in that 2 or 3 days we were in London, one of the team members came and got me and said, Steve, we really need you in this house. So I'm walking with him and said, yeah, we've been praying for this guy for 3 hours, and he's not getting healed yet. I walk in this house, and sometimes you just know that it's not going to happen. And I walked in that house, and they'd been contending for 3 hours for this guy, and I just had that sense that's not what was happening today. I can't explain it. I can't give you a theology for it. Sometimes you just know. And so in my mind, I am forming an apology for God. I'm about to apologize to this guy that we've been in his house for 3 hours and he's not gotten healed. He was a military vet, all kinds of issues physically in his life, and he was in a rough state. And I'm almost ready to speak the apologies that I've formed. I know none of you have ever done this. Only me would do that. Okay. I'm about ready to speak out the apology that I've formed, and I heard the Holy Spirit check me and say, ask him what he's feeling. So I asked this guy, what are you feeling? The guy starts weeping. He said, in all of my life, I have never felt this much love. Nobody has ever taken 3 hours with me in my entire life. I cannot believe you people have stayed here and loved me and prayed for me. I just can't believe what this is doing to me. And over the next 20 minutes, we led this guy into glorious salvation. And I was going to apologize. Come on. We get our job description mixed up. Love them unconditionally. And God has this amazing way of reaching his hand in and causing something extraordinary to happen. The most incredible miracle I've seen on film was a little boy that was born with he had the whites of eyes, but he had no pupil. It was just simply white. This little boy came into a meeting and he went up to some of the interns and handed her baby to the interns and they prayed, nothing happened. And she took it up to Randy Clark and handed it to him and he prayed, nothing happened. And then she took the baby over to Heidi Baker and handed the baby to Heidi Baker. And Heidi just sat there and just began to love this child. Wasn't praying at all, just loving the child. And she reached over and grabbed a tissue and dabbed some water from her bottle on it, started wiping the eyes of the child. And as she wiped the eyes of the child, he opens his eyes with perfect, perfect eyes. She set the baby down on the ground, and the baby took off running and ran to the mother. Born with no eyes at all. And has perfect sight. So they took quite a while to kind of confirm the miracle and asked several times of the lady. And the lady finally was quite indignant and said, listen, the child was born blind and has never walked. Act of loving them. See, guys, we've got to get past where we're contending for us to see in the miracle. And our contending is, I want to love so perfectly that miracles become normal. Does that make sense? It gets our... Let's just look at the last two words. Faith is expressed by love. So, in other words, the way I speak it matters. So the conveying of faith has got to be through love. So the way somebody receives the message, the way somebody's touched, has got to have love in it. That's the expression. So faith doesn't work unless it's expressed by love. Does this change your understanding of how love and faith work together? I'm just fascinated by this connection right now. And then the last one is working through love. The language there of working is the idea that we would have of work. But it's actually the idea of a lubricant. Love removes the friction of faith. So have you ever tried to pray for somebody and they didn't want you to pray? Love is the anti-friction. Love is the thing that causes you to be able to get that faith across the divide. It's a thing that actually causes us to make the connection. I believe for you as a house, God is going to start releasing a level of love for one another here that is going to cause some of the greatest miracles you've ever seen. I think it's going to spread into your homes, your families, your workplace. I think it's going to spread out in the most incredible and remarkable ways because that's what's on his heart to do for you. So let's just stand up real quickly together.